This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. The owner of a Utah coal mine has become the public face of a disaster. Amid the effort to rescue six trapped men, he's been attacking mine safety advocates and the media. We'll have more on Robert Murray in a moment. We begin with the latest news from the collapse. It includes some clues to the question of what caused the collapse. If you believe the owner, it was an act of nature. If you believe the scientists, it was more likely the result of work in the mine itself. NPR's Jeff Brady reports.
A team of geologists from the University of California at Berkeley says the seismological data from the mine collapse does not match what they'd see in a natural earthquake. Doug Dreger is the lead author of the study.
What we found is that this seismic event was, in fact, very different than what we typically see in earthquakes, and that it seems to suggest that there was closure of an underground cavity.
In other words, the mine collapsing. No one from Murray Energy Company, which owns the mine, was available to comment. CEO Bob Murray has emphatically maintained over the past 3 days that an earthquake caused the collapse and that aftershocks from it hampered rescue efforts. In a briefing with reporters, Murray would only talk about the ongoing rescue efforts.
I just happened to bring you a little something here that I brought out of the mine. That's what it looks like.
Murray held two golf ball-sized chunks of shiny black coal. He said tons of coal, just like this, sits between rescuers and the trapped miners.
And we'll go through this very fast to get to the men because it's loose and it's fine and it's small like this. And there's smaller pieces even than that.
Murray says he's been worried about ventilation in the mine, but now that he's seen the area of the collapse...
I can tell you that I'm more optimistic than I ever was, that there's ventilation back there to keep those men alive.
Murray said crews still are removing the rubble blocking the mine. That could take a week or more. Above, he says two drills have made significant progress boring through the 1,500 feet of rock and sandstone. He thinks a 2.5-inch hole and another measuring 8.5 inches will be completed within a day or two. That'll allow rescuers to make contact with the miners, if they're still alive, and it will provide a way to deliver food and water to them. Until then, residents of this mining town have scheduled gatherings every day to support each other.
Now, if you'll take your hats off, we'd like to have a moment of silence.
About 200 people gathered at the rodeo grounds in Huntington for a candlelight vigil last night. They sat on rickety wooden benches under a white banner with the word HOPE in large letters. Melody Sinclair's husband is a miner, not one of those trapped, but the mine collapse has clearly affected her.
Every day that your husband goes to work anywhere, I mean, any tragedy or accident can happen anywhere. But when they go underground, there's no communication. That's what really makes it hard.
Since early Monday morning, this town has waited for the answer to one question, whether the miners are still alive. As those drills work day and night to reach the area where the miners are believed to be, the answer to that question may come as soon as this evening. Jeff Brady, NPR News, Price, Utah.